And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, what's going on? How are we doing?
Doing just fine. Looking forward to the Red Rant today. Looking forward to the Red Rant.
Oh, big day you on the guys program. Just wait.
I think it may just become the Red Rant every day after today.
Hey, good. That may be the case. This could be a game-changing day on the program, Michelle.
7:45. Listen, I wish I was on the Zoom. My face is going to be red. I was so heated after the show. I actually had an original rant, and then something happened yesterday after the show. So there will be a lot of passion into this Red Rant at 7:45.
So there's one in reserve now, too. We know this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We got one on the back burner.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Just don't get us fined, and we'll be good.
Yeah. But see, and you bring up a good point. Shouldn't we, like, put you on camera? Shouldn't you, like, get on Zoom for this?
Maybe I could figure that out.
Maybe something we need to do. Yeah.
You know? I think it's only right. Just a
thought. Kick Rex Road out.
Yeah, exactly.
Let Rex Road produce the show, which could be amazing.
Yeah, and then, Rex, I'm sure you know how to work this, right?
I'm sure we'd have no issues. Maybe even if you do that, maybe I can even like have a guest spot on the six. But probably,
we can make that happen.
Probably not. No boomers allowed.
Yeah. Happy April Fools. Are you a big April Fools guy, Joe Rex Road?
I have pulled some April Fools pranks. I did not even think about that until you just said it. Now I'm trying to think of stuff. I mean, I wish I would have thought of something that I could have done to prank you guys, but I blew it.
How about you? Really quick, I have to say this. My mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom. April Fool's Day. Yeah, we would always play pranks on her.
That's nice.
So that's what she loved for her birthday. Yeah.
So you always gave her like the candles that don't blow out and stuff like that?
None today, though. None today.
No pranks today. No. Happy birthday, Mom.
I'm not a big prank guy. Like, I'm sure when I was younger, like, I did some stupid stuff on April Fool's. But there's some people that go, like, to the really big extremes, like, going in and playing pranks on their boss, like, bad things happening. I'm just like, all right.
Yeah.
It is April Fool's, but maybe calm down a little bit.
I had a friend in college who applied to be an RA, you know, which is a resident assistant. So, basically, you run the floor and you get some kind of a...
Free housing.
Tuition. Yeah, I guess you get the free housing. Right. Yeah, there you go. And he applied, and I got official letterhead from the dorm, and I wrote him a rejection letter he got that on April 1st. So that was pretty good. That was also 30 years ago. So, yeah. Yeah. But, he was very upset, and I had a lot of joy out of his misery. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That's about the best one I can think of.
I did Vaseline on the door handle.
Okay.
Nice.
That's the old classic. Go. Yeah.
We'll take your best April Fool's submissions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Josh from Jackson already texting in. Said, good morning, guys. Go Vols. Beat Candy. I mean Vandy. This is from Josh from Jackson on the text line. So already some smack talk in advance of Tennessee and Vanderbilt taking place later tonight over at Hawkins Field.
Yeah, I've seen a decent amount on social media, which makes sense. It adds up. You got these super expensive tickets. I'll be very interested tonight to see like what the crowd breakdown is. How much orange is in there? You know, when Tennessee plays Vanderbilt in football or basketball, there's going to be a lot of orange. But I don't know. I don't know if that's really been the case in baseball. Vols fans are gaga over this number one team, as they should be.
Yeah,
I've seen some. I'm sorry. I was throw out here this one thing I saw. Apparently, Tim Corbin accused Tennessee of like juicing its bats in like an 0-9 series. I didn't know this. That's been making the rounds on social media. So there's a little bit of history here.
They're going back to 2009. Okay.
Hey. It's a rivalry, baby. It's a rivalry.
That's right. Oh, it's going to be a fun weekend. I don't think there's any question about that. Lots of sports to get to this weekend, including the Final Four. Villanova taking on Kansas. tomorrow night, right around 5 o'clock, and then North Carolina and Duke in the highly anticipated nightcap. So anticipated that Eric Church has canceled his concert in San Antonio to go watch North Carolina and Duke. He's a big Tar Heel guy, so that's going over well right now.
Yeah, that's pretty weak, right? Why not just say, you know what, the concert's at 3. Would people not figure out a way to show up?
Probably. I don't know how, like, logistically with the arena. I'm not familiar with what's going on down there, so I don't know if that's possible or not. But it would make a whole lot more sense than just saying, hey, guys, we're just scrapping this thing, and I'm going to watch North Carolina.
I mean, I don't know when the concert dates were announced, but if you're that big of a Tar Heels fan, I mean, unless they were announced like 2 months ago, I guess that's possible when he's like, well, they stink anyway, who cares? Don't you have to be conscious of things like this if you're him?
Or like you could just suck it up and
well, yeah, you do your job. Yeah, you could suck it up and do your job. Well, that's true too. But
you know, we're talking bad about Eric Church right now. Like Ryan Porth, he's going to call in here in a minute.
Oh my God, that's right.
That's his boy.
That's right. That was the stuff where he was crying, like when Eric Church said, "Hey, man," and he's like, "Oh my God, he looked at me." That was Eric Church. Okay,
yeah. It was subject to the greatest photograph ever taken by me.
Yeah, please tweet it.
I got Porth in there. I will find this photograph and I will tweet it.
Yes, tweet it because I have not seen or heard this.
It's like Ryan Porth really got touched by the hand of God. It's quite amazing.
It's certainly my greatest photograph ever taken, and it probably belongs in a magazine. I'll tweet this out here in just a few minutes.
Yeah, it should have the full thing in Life magazine.
Yeah, it really should.
Incredible stuff.
What do you make of just this Final Four in general? Kansas, Villanova, Duke, North Carolina, as you've pointed out repeatedly this week, not four Blue Bloods, although some people have disagreed with you on that. Some people do think it's four Blue Bloods now, but certainly four of the best programs in America right now. Obviously, there's the storyline of Duke and North Carolina. I'm just going to tell you that game is going to get really high ratings coming up on Saturday night. Could this be maybe the most anticipated or, when it's all said and done, maybe even most watched Final Four that we've seen in a long time? Joe Rexroy, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I think the Duke-Carolina aspect gives it a chance to be up there for sure. Look, you know, one thing that we've seen, if you want to talk about, you know, ratings and trends, it's kind of strange, but ratings, some people believe, have gone up overall because like the stands are full again. I guess I never would have thought of that, but like, it was like almost like dystopian to have these games, you know, in empty arenas and stuff, right? Like it feels more like regular sports. So that's what some people think, anyway. That I don't know if it's based on polling or what, but that you know, people are actually more likely to watch, like, casual, you know, viewers, sporting events with full crowds. So I don't know. So I guess it'll be better than the last couple years, I guess. And, you know, some of these recent Final Fours have had, I mean, let's see. You had, you've always had some high profile, or not quite blue blood, but at least some high profile team. But you've had some interesting, you've had Texas Tech and like Auburn. I mean, that was what? Texas Tech, Auburn, Virginia, Michigan State a few years ago. That was, was, of course, when Michigan State robbed everybody of Zion in the Final Four. You've had some interesting combinations, but Duke Carolina is, it's going to be pretty massive. I'm just not excited about the other one. I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Villanova, Kansas can be good, but, you know, with Justin Moore hurt, and frankly, I think Kansas might actually end up winning this whole thing. Which, you know, think about, I mean, Duke and Carolina, like, this is Armageddon. This is like everything, you know, for those two teams. How do you wind it back up for Monday night, whoever wins? You know, like, I think I feel good about Kansas winning, which would be boring. Like, I disagree with Jared, who said the other day that the Big 12 is boring and Kansas is, I'm just bored by Kansas always getting here and then not winning. But like, they're a fun team to watch. The Big 12 is great. I hope that game is good. I obviously, it will be a huge disappointment if Duke Carolina isn't an all-time classic. I mean, the standard that is set for that game to reach is very high.
Very high, and I'm interested, like, how many people are pulling for Duke? I mean, because the part of this that's interesting is, like, if it's Duke against, you know, some random team out there, the entire country's pulling against Duke. But it's North Carolina. Like, I even find myself, I don't like North Carolina either. So, like, it's going to be difficult for me to just sit there and root for North Carolina, although I'm going to do it because I want to watch Duke lose. But, like, I'm interested to see what the breakdown of this is around the country of how many people are rooting for Duke and how many rooting for North Carolina. Because, honestly, I find both programs unlikable.
I understand that. And I think a lot of people feel the same way. I also think Hubert Davis is way more likable than Coach K.
I agree.
So I think he's way more likable than Roy Williams, too. I don't know. Roy Williams, wide range of opinions on him. Aw, shucks,
until Roy Williams gets dancing, yes, I agree.
Me too, Robbie.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty special. I still feel like it's strongly rooting for North Carolina. You know, you think about, because obviously there's this huge risk for them now. They partied like it was 1999 when they beat them. But now, you know, he could get them back. But what if they do it again? And, like, thank you, and we'll do it one more time to you, Kay, and actually end his career. Oh, man. All time.
You've talked me into it.
Yeah.
The entire country's rooting for North Carolina.
Yeah. And then again, and then they're going to go lose Monday. Probably to Villanova, because I've counted them out Saturday.
We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, the picture of Ryan Porth has been tweeted at RStanleyNHL on Twitter. So make sure you give that a look at RStanleyNHL on Twitter. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Final Four. Get Joe Rexroad's keys to victory in the Final Four for each of these teams. What sort of a Final Four are we in for this weekend? And what sort of a team do you think it's going to take down to beat Kansas, the number one seed, the one that's remaining here in the program, as Joe Rexroad smiles very bigly.
Oh, look at Porth. Like, he can die. He can die right at that moment. Eric Church touched me.
It is quite amazing.
Eric, if you ever decide you don't want to work because of a basketball game, I support you.
I'll do whatever you need me to do. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvicker with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Final Four, Villanova and Kansas, Duke and North Carolina. Joe, we'll get to the Duke-North Carolina matchup here in just a few minutes. Let's start with Nova and Kansas. Tomorrow night, right around 5 o'clock, I believe 5:09, the official tip-off time tomorrow between Villanova and Kansas. What are some key things that you're looking for in this matchup? Obviously, big injury for Villanova that they're going to have to overcome in this game. But what are you looking for in this matchup? What do you think is most important for Villanova to win, most important for Kansas to win?
Well, first of all, I'm going to rank – So, because tonight we got two Final Four games too: Louisville, South Carolina, UConn, Stanford, yep. And I'm ranking Villanova, Kansas as my fourth most interested game of these four semifinals. I think tonight could be incredible. Louisville, South Carolina. I think South Carolina is the best team, but Louisville has got something special. I think that is my second most compelling game after Duke, Carolina. And then UConn, Stanford, that's awfully good too. Kansas, Villanova is totally, to me, it's a complete style contrast. Villanova is one of the slowest teams in college basketball. Kansas, I'm not sure exactly where they rank in pace. They play way better when they play fast. They have more depth, more speed, more athleticism. They want to go up and down the floor. I mean, Villanova is going to take it down to the last 5 to 7 seconds of the shot clock over and over again. And it makes it very hard because you have to guard them all the way, and they usually get a good shot. But, I mean, they're going to have to shoot incredibly well, to me, to have a chance in this game. Just because Kansas can guard so well. And again, Kansas can throw a lot of people at you. I don't know if there's like one particular, you know, I mean, Eric Dixon is at 6'8", 260. He's got to go in there and bang against some really good bigs for Kansas. Agbaji from Kansas is, you know, the key guy for them as far as, you know, offensive weapons. But they have so many guys who can do different things. But it comes down to if Villanova shoots incredibly well and does not turn it over and does not feed Kansas's break, then this could be like a, you know, this could be like a high 50. They need this game to be like in the high 50s. Kansas wants it into the 70s. And if it gets there, I don't see how they possibly lose. You know, I mean, you've got, you know, Agbaji, but also, you know, Christian Braun, Jalen Wilson. I mean, McCormick is 6'10", 265. I mean, McCormick in there, that battle should be pretty good. Remy Martin against Gillespie is a nice matchup. Just Kansas just has a lot more, especially with the Justin Moore injury.
It would be nice if you're Villanova to see Colin Gillespie get hot. He shoots 41% from three. This could be a game where he could let it loose from the 3-point line a little bit. That'd be nice if you're Villanova.
Yeah, and if you're Kansas, and if you're anybody who ever plays Colin Gillespie, just don't go for the. He always pump fakes.
Yep.
I swear, he never just catches the ball and shoots it. He pump fakes, he sidesteps, and then he makes that shot. So stay down and let him actually just shoot and see if he'll actually shoot. I mean, obviously, if he's wide open, he does. But it's amazing. He's got that move down, and people just bite on it constantly.
It's like Dwayne Wade. Like, Dwayne Wade used to do that under the basket all the time, and people fell for it every single time. And I'm like, hey, guys, you ever watch the tape? Like, he's going pump fake right there every time. And it worked every time. It's unbelievable to me.
He was a heck of a pump faker. Dwayne Wade.
He was a pretty good pump faker. Top five all-time pump faker. I don't think there's any question about that. All right, so in the next matchup, Duke and North Carolina. Obviously, going to have a lot of eyeballs on that one. Duke is the favorite in this game, but it's been a magical run for North Carolina to this point. And it really began for North Carolina when they beat Duke in the last game of the regular season. And they've been on a roll ever since then. What are your keys for North Carolina in this game to pull off the win against Duke?
Yeah, well, they have the best big in Armando Bacot. I mean, he is, and when he plays great, you're talking 6'10", 240 junior. You know, that in tandem with Brady Manick, I mean, it's awfully good. I mean, their guards, when they're hitting this, you know, they don't play. I mean, you know, I think all four of these teams, but in particular Nova, Duke, UNC, I mean, their bench minutes are like around in the 300s. They all have small rotations, which, you know, some people say, hey, you got to have more depth, things like that. But, you know, it also tends to help you have continuity, better execution, fewer turnovers, all that stuff. Obviously, like, I mean, if it's the matchup, Bonquera against Manick, if that's is that the matchup, you know, I don't know exactly how they're gonna actually guard each other, but you know, those two guys, you're talking, you know, power forwards who are actually college big size, 6'9", 6'10", who can shoot from anywhere, are just a real matchup problems. I hope that's actually the matchup. I mean, it makes sense that it would be. That'd be fun to watch. It's amazing to think back on what Carolina just did to Duke. But it was just also, it was just, you know, one of those nights. It's still a make and miss game. They were red hot. Duke was just mistake prone, and they were kind of a mess back then. You know, I think this is going to be an up and down, high scoring offense. I think the offenses are going to win. And I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. I'd be very disappointed if this is like 61-58.
Well, and you could say this going into every game, but the one thing for me, and I think back to the Baylor game when Baylor went on that 30-4 run, North Carolina was in foul trouble, and then all of a sudden, you know, their reserves are coming in, and it's just not – there's a big drop-off. Like, you can't have that against Duke. I don't think the depth is quite there for North Carolina like it is for Duke. And, you know, obviously you can't give up a 30-4 run. I think that goes without saying, but you can't get into foul trouble if you're North Carolina in this matchup.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, it's actually amazing that they're here given how that all went down. Caleb Love, RJ Davis, You know, sophomore guards, you know, they've been playing great. A lot of these guys for Carolina, especially, I mean, Duke's been good all year. Carolina was so bad earlier in the year. And some of that is their guards, you know, figuring out a lot of things, but then, you know, team defensively too. A lot of those numbers have dramatically changed. So, but again, I think this is going to be not just the Duke Carolina thing and the Krzyzewski thing and all that, but I mean, if you like offensive basketball, this should be pleasing to the eye.
And then there's Duke, who has been on fire as of late, have played really well. Obviously, the storyline of Coach K in this tournament, but, you know, they've got Banchero out there. He's probably going to be a top five pick in the NBA draft. They've got a lot going right for them at the moment. They're the favorite, not only in this game. Most people, they're a favorite for the rest of this tournament as well. Your observations of Duke to this point, and do you think they can keep it rolling against North Carolina in this game? Do you expect them to keep it rolling in this game?
Well, they had a couple. I mean, they could have gone down a couple times in this tournament, and they made huge late plays, and then it looked like they took it to another level against Arkansas. So they're rolling right now, and they are just like they just have a lot of guys who can get their own shot. I mean, and even just, you know, if need be, a Griffin or a Keels in the corner can get you a big shot. But I mean, Wendell Moore, no, people don't talk about him too much, but he's another guy. I mean, he can get wherever he wants. And Jeremy Roach is, to me, like, he's got to win the guard battle significantly. And look, he's more explosive than those Carolina guys. You know, I think he's got the quickness edge. He's been playing great. They're just, you know, they're at times one-on-one, and Banchero especially, he's incredible. I mean, he's going to be a very high pick. You know, they're individually, they're getting a bucket when they need it, and then collectively they're playing at a high level too when they can get in transition. So it's a loaded team. It helps when you have, you know, four or five of the top, you know, 15 recruits or so, or whatever it is. I mean, eventually that, you know, is going to tend to show itself.
Ryan Porth has responded on Twitter to this photo of he and Eric Church, and has responded with basically a bunch of song lyrics from Eric Church explaining why Eric has the thought process that he does. So Ryan Porth is now about to be permanently banned from Twitter on this program.
Yeah, I'm sure that this tweet makes sense. Like, when I read it, I have no clue what he's talking about. But since he capitalized some of the words, I'm assuming those are song titles.
That is correct. Of Eric Church.
What I'd like
it's really kind of impressive.
Like, if Hub Arcus tried to pull this off, would like if he tried to cancel a concert?
Yeah.
So he could watch the Bears play, would Ryan Porth suspend him? This is what I'd like to know.
That's the question I'd like to know as well. Would Hub be suspended? Now, would he be the MVP of said concert? Would there be proper voting on the MVP of said concert? Who knows?
You stick to Hub, Ryan.
That's right.
Oh, he's got more. He's got another tweet with other song titles. My gosh.
Right. Just keeps on going.
I hope everybody enjoyed that picture.
Your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Preds in action tonight against Buffalo. Who is the most underappreciated player on the Predators? Willie brought this a candidate for this up yesterday, which I think is very interesting. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game has one final chance for you to win with our four-team game bracket challenge. Go to thegamenashville.com/bracket challenge to play for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Shinedown coming up at Bridgestone Arena on May 4th. The Game Bracket Challenge brought to you by Coach's Corner Sports Grill in Spring Hill, Days Delta 8, and Wager. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexrow, the Preds in action tonight. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. I do want to get to Chad's text first on the text line. It says, you'll need to explain to me how Coach K isn't likable. He's soft-spoken, no scandals, no cheating. coach the Redeem team? I'm not getting that statement. It's coming from Chad on the text line.
So Chad's a Duke fan.
Yeah.
Chad. Look, first of all, I have a lot of respect for Coach K. He's a great coach. He's one of the greatest coaches in American sports history. And you're right. He coached the Dream Teams. Did a great job there because, you know, they were a mess before he took that over. I mean, now granted, I think also like when Kobe and LeBron come, you know, like there's the other aspects of that, but he did a good job there. He's an incredible coach. The idea that you said no scandals is just astounding. Go read about Marvin Bagley. Again, go back and read about Corey McGetty's recruitment and Myron Piggy. People want to believe that Coach K his program has never been involved in anything. And it's actually astounding to me, even though it's really well documented that that's not at all even close to true, how many people still cling to that. It's actually kind of amazing.
Coach K is very unlikable. Sorry.
I think the bulk of like college basketball fandom has felt that way, but apart from the scandals that a lot of people are like, oh yeah, he's never had anything. Apart from that, for a long time.
He's probably going to win the national championship, so good for him, I guess.
I mean, if he gets he gets a sixth natty, you know? But, yeah, I don't know. Was that Dan Wolkin's burner texting
us? Maybe so. Could be. But find out to send him a text. Maybe it's Tom Izzo.
Well, Izzo's going to be on later to break down the Final Four.
That's right.
So we're letting him sleep in today before he does his daily segment with us.
Hour.
Yeah. Segment. Yeah, we're going to do an hour with him.
Yep. Pred's taking on the Buffalo Sabres tonight. Puck drop at 6 o'clock. Pregame at 5 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Pred's with a chance to sweep this week, even though we've talked about it. They've not played overly well. Dallas wins last night, so they're now 3 points back of the Predators with one game in hand. You look around, and it's an interesting spot right now. Minnesota loses last night, finally, but they lose to Pittsburgh in overtime. So a little bit different there. Evgeny Malkin with the game winner. L.A. goes into Calgary last night and wins in a shootout. So teams winning all around the Predators in the standings right now. Got to keep the points going if you're the Predators. David Poile was on with Darren Donica Chase yesterday, and they were obviously, I mean, they're talking about Tanner Janot and what he's brought to the table. And, you know, Willie brought up the point that maybe a lot of people aren't paying attention to Yakov Trenin and what he's done this year. He's got 17 goals. He doesn't have the points that Janot has. You know, Janot's got 40 points. Trenin's got 24. It's only 7 assists for Trenin, but it got me thinking about it. Like, I think Trenin has been pretty underrated for what he's brought to the table offensively this year. I mean, you could go Granlund. There's a bunch of different ways you could probably take this. So, Joe Rexroad, I ask you, who do you think has been the most underappreciated member of the Predators as they pursue a spot in the playoffs here coming down the stretch?
Like, for me, it's you can argue it's the same person, you know, year after year, and it's Colton Sissons. I mean, remember, he keeps that line together, you know? I mean, he centers that line. He centers that line, and we talk about, hey, we should be talking about Janot. Incredible season. I mean, he's a revelation. I think he's a big part of this team's future and could be in different spots in the future as well. We talk about Trenin, who is he's been really good. He's had a heck of a season too. Sisson centers that line, does everything. I mean, he does everything. You can put him anywhere. It's sort of like Yarncroke, except to me, you know, I feel like Sisson's even to a little bit different level than Yarncroke. And I know, you know, Sisson's has 6 goals this year, so. No one's going to give him too much attention or be too excited about that. I just think he's just solid and sound. It's just also he's just such an interesting person on this team because of his history with like the greatest moments in franchise history too. But he continues to just plug away and be an indispensable. I mean, you think about that core. Think about that 17 run. Well, there's people who are still here who you would expect to still be here. such as Roman Josi and Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson and Matthias Ekholm and UC Saros. Okay, those are all, like, that's the absolute core of the team. Also, Colton Sissons. You know, it's not an accident. I just think he's the quintessential, underrated, overlooked, really important member of a hockey team.
Well, I think that's a great piece. I mean, Colton Sissons certainly on my list. I mean, the thing stands out to me about him, and he does all the little things we've talked about, like the block shots and all this stuff. He's won 56% of his draws this year, and he takes a lot of draws, and takes a lot of draws in the defensive zone. Like, he is a machine out there in the faceoff circle, and nobody pays attention to that until you lose one of those draws in your own zone and ends up in the back of your net like a playoff game. I get that. Nobody's paying attention to faceoffs throughout the year, but the guy's an absolute machine in the faceoff circle. So Sisson certainly, I think, deserves consideration. Like, I think for me, you know, Trennan is a good candidate. You know, I think you could look up and down like you know, I heard somebody talk about Nick Cousins the other day, where you can put him anywhere. He's been on the power play. I think there's a lot of good places you could go with it. I'm going Carrier. Like, I think Carrier has been really good. He hasn't been as flashy as he was last year. Like, he came in, immediately started making plays offensively, scored some goals, and, you know, was a guy that by the time the playoffs came around, he's playing with Roman Josi and playing top minutes. He's not been as flashy this year in that pairing of Ekholm and Carrier together when they've been together. And their offensive numbers aren't great. I think he's been really good defensively. And, you know, you watch him, you know, at this point, he's not necessarily a young player anymore. He was already kind of an older guy when he came into the league anyway. But I think he has really solidified a spot for him in the top four. Like, I feel good about Carrier being a solid top four guy for them for years to come. And I think defensively he has been really, really good this year. And, like, you look at the offensive numbers, he's only got 2 goals. He's got 25 assists, 27 points, 62 games. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at as a defenseman, but that's not going to blow off the page at you. I think Carrier has been really, really good this year.
Yeah, it's a good call. I mean, he's still only 25. You know, so he's, yeah, I guess that's middle-aged-ish. Well, that's the thing. You know, Carrier is a guy who, I mean, I remember hearing about him like in 16, 17, you know, like he was always one of the guys. And then sometimes with young guys, I feel like if there's not this rapid ascent, you kind of get forgotten about, or even sort of like, okay, maybe it's just not quite there. I just felt like maybe I was perceiving it wrong, but it just seemed like he was sort of discarded a little bit. Not from the organization, you know, from the fan base and even, like, from media. And, I mean, last year I thought he was a revelation, and he's another one of those. There's a few guys on this team this year who had to back up what they did last year, and some have better than others. I think he has done it extremely well. Like, obviously, we're still waiting for Tolvanen to regain the form when he was on that hot streak last year, for example. You know, Jeannot, Trent, a lot of those guys have, I mean, Saros even have carried it over. Carrier, I think, has for sure. He seems to be in the right place a lot, usually, and he just makes important plays.
He does, and that pair is going to be important coming down the stretch, because when you get to this point in the regular season, and certainly in the playoffs, like, a lot of it becomes about matchups, and if everybody's healthy and it's Ekholm, Carrier, I'm not saying that they're like some shutdown defensive pair, but when they're on, they're really good defensively. And that could be very important for this team as they come down the stretch. I mean, the good news is, like, I think there's a lot of different candidates for this. I mean, it's hard for me to put Tanner Jeannot in the underappreciated category, because I think at this point, everybody pretty much knows what Tanner Jeannot is and what he brings to the table. But I mean, you can go down the list. Like, I think Fabro's been pretty good for the most part. I think Borowiecki's been good when he's been in there. There's a lot of different ways you could go with it, but I don't know. The Yakov Trennan thing that Willie brought up yesterday stirred up this conversation in me.
Yeah, no, it's he's definitely a good one to bring up too, for sure. I mean, I will say you can look at this as you can look if you want to look at appreciation through Preds Pick to Click, which, you know, obviously for the most part the the top guys get picked. I would say that Trennan is probably as picked an underrated guy as there is. Unless you count Janot. But I almost feel like Janot now is almost on the, like, he's going to be heavy rotation.
He's got 23 goals.
Right. Like, and but in Preds picked a click. He's been picked quite a bit. Yeah. But Trennan, I would say, is definitely the, and it's a good pick because Trennan is always, man, he's always snooping around the net, man. I mean, that line is typically creating chances and making people feel it while they do it.
Coming up next, it's time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. We need your bold predictions in the world of sports. Hit up our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. And it is that time of the week, time for Call Your Shot Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we'll take your bold predictions on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, how did we do last week in Call Your Shot Friday?
Okay, let's see. We had some shots. Well, Michelle, you called a lot of shots last week. This is last week? Yeah, okay, this is last week. I was like, I thought that I did this two weeks ago. But last week, I had a long-term shot, so let's remember it. Lady Vols, Final Four, 2023, Rekia Jackson, Jazzy Powell, Justine Passat coming into a team that's already very good. I had a Final Four of UNC, yes. Duke, yes. Houston and Purdue, no and no. Houston wins the whole thing, no. Houston beats Duke, no. So thanks a lot, Kelvin Sampson. Just when I started to believe in you again, after all your scandals in Bloomington, you blew it. Robbie, the Hogs will be called against Duke. Woo Pig Suey, Arkansas wins. That did not happen.
Did not.
Preds 5-1 against Philly, 4 points for Yossi, 5-4. So they got, you got the Preds total right. I don't remember Yossi's point total.
I think he had like two or three.
Heat win by 15 or more versus the Knicks. They actually lost that game, didn't they? Ew.
Ridiculous.
Okay, Michelle, UNC, yes. Duke, yes. Houston and Miami, Final Four. So
no.
Got the UNC-Duke part. Duke, well, now wait a minute. Okay, I have a shot that says Duke wins it, but then I have a shot that says St. Peter's wins it all. Who are you?
Like she's calling. She switched.
Someone will win it all. Okay, so you switch it at the end
to St. Peter's, which obviously
we'll stick with that. St. Peter's upsets Purdue. Boom!
Ding, 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 ding.
Doug Eddard with 25. I don't think he had 25, but they did get the. So you got a big one there. You got a long term shot. Grizzlies Suns in the Western Conference Final. I think that's a trendy pick right now, and. How did Isabella do in dressage?
Actually, this weekend. So we messed it up, so we're going to keep that shot. Good luck to Isabella this weekend.
Go, Isabella. Dressage. Win it dressage. All, baby. There you go. What did I say?
Something not like that.
Dressage.
Why are you saying it
I didn't say dressage. Dressage. Hey, I'm an experienced
He's
dressage.
He's a season writing.
I'm an experienced dressage reporter, okay?
That is true.
Yeah. Horses dance to music. It really freaks me out. Hey, real quick, before we get into our shots, by the way, Chad on the text line is like, oh, why would anybody not like Coach K? He's never had any scandals or anything. Hey, so Chad, I want you to also Google Josh Peters' 2003 story from the Final Four about Chris Duhon's recruitment to Duke for the New Orleans Times-Picayune. Really fascinating story about Chris Duhon and how Duke acquired him. It's a story that was completely ignored by the college basketball media that week. But quite a story. Chris Duhon, Duke's recruitment. Just check it out.
There you go. Michelle Knezovic, would you like to kick us off this week and Call Your Shot Friday?
I would love to, and I love that little rant by Joe about Coach K. Okay, so college basketball this weekend. I'm calling Villanova beats Kansas and wins it all because obviously St. Peter's is not winning it all. So Villanova wins it all on the men's side. Switching over to the women's side, I'm calling that the Louisville Cardinals take home the trophy to Kentucky.
Wow. Big dogs tonight.
Yeah.
8.5-point dogs to South Carolina. That's a shot.
Haley Van Lith, 25 points tonight against South Carolina, and Emily Angstler, a double-double.
Okay.
This weekend, Tennessee Vandy baseball, a combined 15 home runs for the series. 15 on the dot.
15 dingers.
And lastly, Duke UNC, overtime, Brady Manick of UNC hits a half-court shot to win.
Oh, half-court. Wow. Okay.
And if you don't know who that is, he's the one with the big ginger beard and the big ginger hair, and he looks sick out there with his headband.
And sick.
Future participant in the Red Rant.
And when you say, yeah, that's right. When you say sick, you're like being a young person on the six.
Yes.
Meaning he looks cool. Just want to make sure for our older listeners.
Does not look actually sick.
Yeah, he doesn't look like he's actually ill with the flu or something. Yeah.
Precisely. You're picking it up, Joe.
All right. Hello, young people. What is it? Hello, fellow young people.
Hello, fellow kids. Yes. How's it going? Joe Rexroad, your called shots of the week. After you take a nice sip of coffee.
Thank you. So first of all, I need to ask, I should have asked this, you know, in our 3-hour pre-show meeting. I mean, I don't know how this didn't come up, but we had Izzo in there with us telling us all the stuff he wanted to say on the show. So, I'm, you know, it happens.
Sure.
Are we going to have Vanderbilt, Tennessee baseball as our weekend winners? Like series winner?
We will have the
something?
Series winner. Yes.
Series winner. Okay. So then I won't call that shot. Kansas will win it all. And we will all be very bored. Yeah. I'm sorry to say. And, you know, Mike from Nolensville will be very excited, but a lot of the rest of the country will yawn. But Kansas won it all. And I'm also calling the shot that South Carolina is going to win this thing. Dawn Staley's squad. Now, I know that they're the favorite, so maybe that's not a shot. But that means I'm calling two wins. And whether it's Stanford or UConn in the final – that will not be easy at all. And I hope Louisville makes it a great game tonight, but, Aaliyah Boston, MOP, the Preds will get a hat trick from Philip Forsberg tonight in Buffalo.
Oh, nice.
Forsberg hat trick in Buffalo tonight. I think that qualifies as a shot. And, yeah, I'll wait on Vandy, Tennessee baseball. So I'm good.
A Hattie from Forsberg tonight would put him at 40. That'd be good stuff.
There you go.
And then we'll see if a contract at some point ever gets signed.
maybe Poyle's just saying you get to 40 and I'll come to your demands.
All right, quickly my called shots. I'm not going to pick the games yet, but each game between Tennessee and Vandy will be decided by one run. Every one of them. All three of the games come up this weekend. Decided by one run.
I hope you're right.
Two points.
Awesome.
It would be awesome. 2 points for Philip Tomasino against the Sabres tonight. I'm going goal and assist, but I'll just leave it at 2 points. Two points for Philip Tomasino tonight against the Sabres. Enrique Bradfield steals 3 bases in one game this weekend. 3 stolen bases in one game for Enrique Bradfield this weekend for Vanderbilt. And finally, Coach K and Duke will win it all. They will win the entire championship, causing weeping and gnashing of teeth throughout the rest of the country.
That is a very acceptable shot, Robbie.
We all have three
Kristen
different winners.
Kristen liked it a lot.
We have three different winners. Kansas, Villanova, and Duke. Nobody giving UNC love.
Nobody picking UNC.
You know they're going to win then.
Yeah. Nick, would you like to pick UNC? You can pick. Okay. Nick is calling the shot that you say. There we go. The whole show is
picking
a different winner.
Four different winners. JD on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. My shot, Tiger Woods will finish in the top 5 at the Masters next week.
That's a shot.
That is a shot. He is practicing out there. Like, is he going to play? That's going to be interesting. But JD, that certainly qualifies as a shot. Wayne from Spring Hill texting in says, I predict all three of Tennessee Vanderbilt games go to extra innings. So extra baseball all weekend long. That's coming from Wayne from Spring Hill.
See, I like the one run game better than all the extra innings games, but that'd be fun.
Luke on the text line says another Vols baseball sweep this weekend. So saying Tony Vitello and company, they come in and not only do they win the series against Vanderbilt, they sweep Vanderbilt this weekend. That'd be something.
That would be something. That'd be the first time since when?
I don't know.
The
90s? I'll tell you that. Yeah. Aaron in Clarksville texting in says, not sure how bold this is, but Tiger will shoot +7 and miss the cut coming up at the Masters. If he plays, I don't know that would be overly bold.
Yeah, that's not. I don't know if that's. But honestly, I still think it's a shot because I still think we're. Let's I'm very curious if he actually plays. I'm not convinced.
Well, like 3 weeks ago, he was talking about how like he can't even really walk around all that well. And then he's going to go walk, which, by the way, Augusta, from what I've been told, not an easy course to walk.
Yeah. So that counts as a shot because I have my doubts. It'd be awesome. I hope so. I hope he tries.
Me too. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Bruce Arians speaking yesterday, and somebody very important was in attendance at the speech as well. We'll get into that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.